Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
Whatever you put first in your life controls everything else in your life. You might have somebody that thinks they're number one in your life, but when the real number one shows up, they find out they're actually number two. Now, don't nobody want to be finding out that they're number two when they thought they were number one. And we don't need to kid ourselves and fool ourselves into saying, Lord, you're number one in my life, until there's certain times in our life that we realize that there's something more important than his word and his will, and we choose that over him, bumping God to that number two or that number three spot that he will not sit in. When God says in his word in Exodus 20 verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me, that was not a recommendation. That was God saying, I won't enter your life at number three. I won't be your third choice. I am God, and there are no other gods before me. So when we don't allow the Lord to take that number one spot in our life, we forfeit the blessing that him being in that first place would bring. If the Lord is first in my life, then there is nothing or no one's influence any greater than God's influence in my life. Your number one, your first thing, whatever's first in your life, inevitably controls everything else. Jesus here in the heart of the Sermon on the Mount gives us this word. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then he gives the benefit. And he says, the benefit is that all these things shall be added unto you. Let's read it out loud one more time, verse 33. Ready? Read. But see. And all these things shall be added unto you. So he's saying the things that you were putting at first place, the things that you were giving weight to, the things that you were worried about, the things that gave you anxiety and fear, he says those things are going to come added to your life when you've put first the kingdom of God. To see it in its context, you have to really go all the way back into verse number 19, where he's talking about the physiological needs of life. And he says in verse 21 that where your treasure is, the things that you treasure, that's where your heart is going to be, that your heart is always connected to your treasure. And he begins to list all of these things that we are familiar with, the cares and the concerns of life. But in verse number 31, he says, look, don't take any thought. Don't be worrying about life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, how you're going to pay your insurance, and all of those other anxieties. He said, don't give thought to those things. He says, rather, I want you to do this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then everything else you need, God says, when I am number one in your life and you put me first in every area of your life, everything you need for life, God says, I will add it to your life because you put me first. Now, let's do this. Come back with me to Proverbs, and I want to go to the third chapter, Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. Oh, this is going to be good here in just a minute. I'm excited. We're just easing our way into the pool. We're starting off in the shallow end. All right. Watch this with me. In Proverbs chapter number 3, and we're going to drop down in verse number 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. Now, I'm going to give you two headings here in a minute. And this is going to come up in another series in a month or so. And so you will have heard me say this already, but I feel like it's something the Holy Spirit's really wanting to deal with in our hearts. And so it'll be here in just a few minutes. Watch this in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. If you're there, say amen. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, with all thine heart. Don't give him a little bit, give him all your heart. And lean not into thine own understanding. Don't be trying to figure out what God has already worked out. Don't be trying to figure out what God has already worked out. Tell your neighbor that. Don't be trying to figure out what God has already worked out. You got to go ahead and do what he calls you to do. Do what he tells you to do. And because he's going to show up and he's already got that thing worked out you're trying to figure out. Amen? So, and I've seen him do that so many times. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him. So he's first. I don't go in a direction until I've acknowledged the Lord in that direction. And when I acknowledge him before I make a move, the Bible says he shall direct thy paths. Now, many of us have done it our own way, went our own path, got lost and ran out of gas, and then called on the Lord to bail us out. Thankfully, he's faithful to do that. Amen. But that's not the best way to live. We want to have a proactive faith that acknowledges the Lord first and make sure that every good idea is actually a God idea before we move forward. He says in verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. God says, putting me first and honoring me is going to make you healthy. It's going to bring health to your life, physical health, because he brought up marrow to thy bones. He's talking about your inner core, where true health comes from. He's saying health will derive right out of your inner being, right out of the marrow of your bones. The word of God says in Hebrews 4:12 that his word is sharper than any two-edged sword, that it pierces spirit, soul, and joint and marrow, which means the word of God affects me all the way to my inner core. Do you realize when you hear the word of God, it affects you all the way to your core, that God's word will penetrate even your joint and marrow? It will penetrate your very structure, hallelujah, your very core. It will deal with your mind. It will renew your mind. It will bring life to your spirit and will even affect your natural body. That's the power of God's word, hallelujah. He says, when you put me first, it's going to be health to your body, health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance. Let's read that out loud. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Now, we're going to talk about substance just for a minute, but I'm not this preacher that's getting up and going to ask you for no money. So don't play funny with the money, all right, because that ain't going to happen here. We don't do those games at Word of God, and I'm not your typical preacher, all right? So don't say, oh, preacher, want to get money, talking about substance. I knew it. I want the old wine. I want that new wine. No, calm down. I want to show you a principle in the Word. Won't be offering already been received. That's done. I'm not after your money. I want to show you a principle. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Your substance is more than the money you got in your pocket. It includes everything that's in your life. It includes everything that God has put under your stewardship. If you're a manager of it, then the Bible says honor the Lord in it. Okay? This is going to come together here in just a minute. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Honor the Lord with your stuff. Honor the Lord with your life. Now listen, to honor the Lord means I'm allowing him to speak into my life and be obeyed. That's what true honor is. I'm delegating the authority of my life to God. That's what it means to honor your mother and father. When you honor your mother and father, you're allowing them, young people, to speak into your life, and you respond with obedience. That's honor. God says, honor me with your stuff. Honor me with your substance. Honor me with your life. That means give me the right to speak into your life, and you respond to me with an act of obedience. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Listen, there'll be times that God's going to call you and lead you to do things that's not going to make sense to your natural mind. But you've got to make a decision that I'm going to do what the Word of God said. I'm going to do what the Spirit of God is leading me to do. I'm going to keep him first, because if there's something in my life, if there's a favorite coat of mine, and God says, give your coat to your neighbor, and it's a favorite coat, and you say, man, God, I don't want to give this coat away. Can I give the one I don't ever wear away? And the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, and you know you're supposed to give that coat away. And so you're like, I don't want to give this a good coat. I don't want to give this one away. Listen, no matter whether it's big or small, our default nature is to be stingy and to keep ourselves first. Now, I want you to follow me in this, because I'm going to show you something that the enemy's been doing since the beginning, and he's been doing it in our own lives. And again, I'm not talking about a church offering, and this ain't about that. This is about living a life where God is first, where when he speaks into my life and he gives me his word, I respond because I know that if I put him first, as long as he's first in my life, then everything else I need in life will be added to my life if I keep him first. So watch this. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Allow God to speak into your life and be obeyed with your stuff, and with the first fruits of all that increase. The first fruit would be the first fruit that ripened. It was the first thing that came up. It's the first. It's not the second, the third, the fifth. It's the first. So shall thy barns, plural. Did you see that? So shall thy barns, plural, be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Can you hold on to that verse right there? Can I count on you to remember what we just read? Well, I tell you, not that I don't trust you, I gotta know you got it. And it's something about saying that that'll make sure you get it. So let's read verse 9 out loud together. Ready? Read. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Keep reading. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now let's go to Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. So God said, honor me with your stuff. And then as you get increase, I want you to give me the first fruit of your increase, because I'm responsible for that increase that came in your life. And when you give me the first, you're acting in faith that there will be a second. Come on, somebody. Now watch this in Genesis chapter number 2. Oh, I can't hardly wait for you to see this. This is getting ready to happen right now. I can't hardly believe it. I've been holding on this for weeks. Genesis chapter 2. Everybody there? All right, now let's go to verse 4. Genesis 2 is a recap of Genesis 1. God going back over again, just consolidating. And we see in verse 4, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now watch verse 5. God had created the heaven and the earth. Watch verse 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, for there was not a man to till the ground. So God establishes this garden, but he won't rain on it. God established every herb, every tree, every fruit tree. He established it in the earth, but he wouldn't rain on it. He said, I can't send rain because I've not put a man yet in the earth to plant. I've yet to put a man in the earth to till the ground and to expand the garden. So being that there's no man planting seed, and being that there's no man expanding the garden, no sense in me sending the rain. No, notice already God's heart is everything that he had done was for man. For man to increase, for man to grow his garden, for man to be the subordinate king in the earth. Well, we find in verse number 6 that what God did is there went up a mist from the earth that watered the whole face of the ground. So God kept what he had planted watered, but he had yet to send the rain. Verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. So God gave man a garden. God gave man a garden and made him dominionaire. He had dominion in that garden. He was the HMIC. He was the head man in charge, a subordinate man who was given stewardship over what the Lord God owned. Can everybody see that? And now, based on what Adam does with what God has given him, will determine his increase. Now, I want you to imagine right now your life, that you are one that God has created. God told Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. So God knows every one of you by name. You're not a mistake, you're not an accident. You are a purpose with a name. And in this life right now, you have your own garden. You have your own territory. You have something that you have dominion over. You might be a teenager here saying, Pastor, I don't have nothing. Well, let me ask you a question. Have your parents given you your own room? Yeah, okay, you got some. You've been given unique talents. You've been given unique abilities. There are unique characteristics that are solely yours. And you are now this steward over what God has put in your life. And now the Lord God is looking at you and what he's placed in your life, and your ability to develop your life, your ability to grow in life is based on how you manage what the Lord has given you oversight of. And he's asked for one thing with you and your garden and your life, is that he always be number one. Amen. That he be first. Now let's come to Genesis chapter 3. Because now we've got man and now we've got woman in the earth. And now you got the introduction of the devil. Let's go to chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Well, wait a minute. God did say she couldn't eat of every tree of the garden. It's God's garden. He put man in that garden to manage that garden, and God, to remind man that he was supreme, made a rule. And the rule was, you can eat of every tree except that tree. I have sanctified that tree unto myself. That tree you do not touch. So Adam and Eve, in this garden, in this domain that had been given to them by God, they have a constant reminder that there is authority. There's an authority that's greater than theirs, that there is an authority that trumps their authority, that there is a God who gave them that garden. And in that garden, the tree that they are not to touch is a reminder that they must always put the Lord first, that they've got to honor the Lord in this garden that they've been given. There will always be something in your life that will be your tree. There will always be something in your life that God says, you can't touch that, you can't have that. And your obedience to that is a reminder that he must be first. In this present day, anything goes gospel church that outside these walls, you're told there is no such tree and that everything is free at will. But that is an untruth that's not in the Word of God. There's going to always be something in our life that's the reminder to put God first. So watch this. The enemy goes after that. And so he says unto the woman, or the woman says back in verse 2, the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. The serpent said unto the woman, lying like a rug, you shall not surely die. How do you know the devil's lying? His mouth is moving. Now, I want y'all to stay with me in this. Don't you miss this. I know it's familiar territory, but there's something that's going to come out of this, and I don't want you missing it. The enemy came and said, wait a minute, you can eat of that tree. The woman said, no, death comes if we eat of that tree. The devil says, no, there won't be no death. There won't be no death. You need that tree. Here's the reason why you need that tree. Notice what the serpent says in verse 5. He says, God doth know that in the day you eat thereof. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof. Read that part with me out loud. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof. Right now, I want you to write this word down if you're taking notes, somewhere on your paper. Ideally, I want a word on the left-hand side and then a word on the right-hand side of your paper. But on the left-hand side, write this word, consumer. Consumer. Look at your neighbor and say, consumer. Satan's first objective with man was to make him a consumer. The consumer mindset says, what's best for me? How can I get the most at the lowest cost? That's the consumer. The world we live in is driven by the consumer. Every advertisement, every TV commercial, every ad in the paper, it's all about appealing to the consumer. What can I get? What can I receive? How much can I get and how little can I pay for it? The enemy came to Eve and made her a consumer of what was supposed to be designated to God. Can you see it? He said, oh, you need this. He said, this tree right here, oh, let me tell you what it'll do for you, Eve. Watch verse 5. He says, your eyes will be open. You'll see things in a way you never saw it before. You'll be as God. He don't want you being like God. This, if you eat of this, you'll be your own God. You don't need no God telling you what you can and can't do. Be your own God of your life. You decide what you want to do. Don't let this commandment hover over you. You need to be your own God. If you eat of this thing God told you not to eat of, then you'll be telling God, I'm my own God. I do it my way. My way is the route I've taken. See, there was so much in that message that the enemy is still speaking to you and I today if we're listening. He says, you'll be your own God if you eat of that tree. Your eyes will be open. You'll be as gods. You'll know good. You'll know evil. Verse 6, under the consumer mindset. She's now become a consumer. She's got a consumer mindset. Watch what the consumer mindset does in verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, the consumer says, that looks good. And that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired, to make one wise, according to the serpent. She took of the fruit thereof. That's deep. Think with me. That's the first time fruit had ever been plucked off that tree. That means that was a first fruit. And whether that tree is one you're supposed to eat of or one you're not supposed to eat of, the word says that the first fruit belongs to God. She took of the first fruit. No man had ever eaten of that tree. She took of that first fruit and she ate, and then she gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Verse 7, and the eyes of them both were open. They knew they were naked. Sin entered the picture. Their relationship with God completely changed. How was Satan able to do that? He was able to convince Eve to adopt a consumer mindset. Now, I read Genesis 2 for a reason. I read Genesis 2 for a reason. And in verse 5, we read something. And I've got it written here in the Amplified. I want to quote it from the Amplified, Genesis 2, 5. We read it a moment ago, but in the Amplified it says this. When no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not yet caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. God didn't send rain for seed, because until there was a man to work the ground. Why am I saying that? Oh, hear me. I'm about to give you the second word. From the very beginning, God's plan for man was that he be a producer. Listen, God's destiny for my life is to be productive, that I be a productive person, that I produce for my wife, that I produce for my children, that I produce for my family, that I produce for my community. I am called, you are called to be a producer. But watch what the enemy does to keep us from being producers to the God kind of scale. He isolates us into the consumer mindset. You say, Pastor, am I not supposed to consume? Oh, yeah, God's going to let you consume. But your consuming should be the reward of your production. Are y'all seeing it here? Well, who's ultimately responsible for the production in my life? The producer himself, God, the Holy Spirit, his word. These are the producers in my life. I am called to be this subordinate king that is producing fruit in my life that brings God glory. And ultimately, everything that I produce in my life should be produced for the glory of God.
To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at WOGM.com.